Holy Trinity, one God, source of all goodness and life, who clothes us with Christ Jesus and makes us one by the Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
Son gave his life that we may come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
Reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. What constitutes legitimate need and legitimate leadership is the focus of this reading. God provides manna in the wilderness, yet the people crave meat. What is truly needful? God bestows the Spirit on 70 elders, yet two men, not designated as leaders, prophesy in the power of God's Spirit. What constitutes real leadership? Hear now from the book of Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight,
that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, give us meat to eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery. So the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, an assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the book of James, chapter 5. Marks of the Christian community include praying for those who are sick and in need, celebrating with those in good health, restoring those who have strayed, confessing sins to one another, and offering forgiveness to each other. Hear now from James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to turn in your worship booklets to page 7, where you will find the gospel acclamation. And I invite you to please stand for the gospel.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, God.
Well, here we are with another cheerful reading about Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. Lovely words about drowning with a great rock around your neck or cutting off your hand if it's causing you problems. You know, we sometimes just take Jesus too seriously. This story is part of a whole section where Jesus keeps trying to help the disciples understand what he is about. When people bring him a child who has seizures, who his disciples were unable to heal, Jesus actually says to the disciples, "How much longer must I put up with you?" They don't make it any better when from the gospel we heard last week, they argue about who is the greatest. He tells them they're asking the wrong question. "Who wants to be first? Whoever wants to be first should be last of all and servant of all," he says. Then he plunks a little child, one with no power or influence, and in the ancient world, without much value, in their midst and says, here is the presence of God among you. And in our story tonight, they're at it again. The disciples come to Jesus saying the equivalent of, "Susie took my doll over to Natalie's house when she was supposed to be playing with it here with me." Jesus tells them not to stop a person doing the things of God in the world. He doesn't say they had all better come follow me and be with our little group. No, he says, whoever is not against us is for us. For how many centuries has the church tried to make it the other way? You better believe it this way, or you better claim your allegiance in this place, or prove yourself over here. And Jesus says it's a mutual item. He lets them know that whatever people are doing for others out there in the broader world is part of what God is about, and that they also need to receive those gifts in return. Whoever gives you a cup of cold water, they belong to us. Then Jesus really takes things to extreme, and this is the part I meant when I said we often take Jesus too seriously. This is all hyperbole, folks. Jesus does not literally want his disciples, if they block the work of others, to put a great millstone around their neck and jump into the sea. Who knows what a millstone is? Somebody say, what's a millstone? Just tell me.
Grinds
the grain. This is a great millstone, and most of the flour makes flour, right? Most of them they're huge things. They were run by donkeys, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, who's the Wile E. Coyote that runs off the cliff? You know, it's kind of like, it's just crazy. Even the in-home version would be, like, unbelievably heavy. And Jesus doesn't literally mean to cut off your limbs if you did something bad with them. These days, these words of Jesus might have come to us in a text message with LOL at the end. What Jesus is asking the disciples and us is to pay attention to is what we do with our hands and our feet and our eyes, particularly in relation to the little ones in our midst and in our world. Refugees from Syria, Latino families separated at the border who are still not reunited, the children over here, the parents over there. Women who were sexually assaulted as teenagers, who never spoke because they thought no one would listen or believe. In yesterday's Seattle Times, there was an article that said that in King County, where Seattle is, these last two or three days, and the end of last week, their sexual assault phone line had triple the calls. And they were almost all from women in their 60s and 70s who had never told anyone what had happened to them. And there are the children who are violated by priests, men and women who proudly worked factory and labor jobs and now cannot support their families, indigenous people whose land was stolen from them, people whose ancestors were abducted and sold as slaves, people we pass by every day in this community or in the cities where we live who sit on street corners holding signs. Jesus wants us to think about how our hands and our feet and our eyes pay attention to those people and those situations. Paying attention is what removes the stumbling blocks. Now, the disciples' complaint about the exorcist misusing, in their opinion, Jesus' name, calls to mind the wonderful story we heard from Numbers 11. The people are stuck out in the wilderness. God has given them some weird stuff to eat. Manna literally means, what is it? That's what the word means. And they are dreaming wistfully of the food they ate in Egypt. They are certainly forgetting their slavery, but they definitely remember the food. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. And Moses, as exasperated as Jesus is with the disciples, has finally had it. He tells God that he doesn't want to put up with it anymore and gives God two choices. Fix it or kill me. And so God fixes it. And does so in the way Moses should have seen in the first place. Surround yourself with a community that can help you lead. God's spirit is put on 70 elders, and Moses gets the relief he needs. But here we are again with the complaints from the privileged. Eldad and Medad are prophesying, and they didn't come to the meeting. Moses, do something about this. And Moses tells Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit on them. Again, the core gift of God for all this is broad and generous and inclusive. And now Moses totally gets it. Now, it's important to note that this whole story about food in the wilderness is not something miraculous or supernatural. Old Testament professor Terry Fretheim, who's been on teaching faculty here at Holden, writes that the provision of manna, water, and quails is not to be divorced from a recognition of nature's God-given potential. God is not creating something out of nothing here. Neither water nor quails materialize out of thin air. Water courses through rock formations and quail fly through this part of the Sinai Peninsula. God works in and through the natural world to provide for God's people. Even in the wilderness, God's world is not without resources. The people just need to see what is being provided for their need in the exact place they are. It's just like Jesus reminding the disciples to watch out what happens when you stretch out your hand, take a step, or see someone. The entire book of Numbers is set in a journey through the wilderness. In fact, the Hebrew title for Numbers is In the Wilderness. When you're reading Numbers, think journey. Journey through the wilderness of life. And the disciples and Jesus are on a journey. Theirs will go to the cross, that place to which Jesus is directing them in words and images they can't quite understand yet. And it won't get much easier as they go along. Now, Holden Village is always about journey, and Holden is certainly in the wilderness. Occasionally, I like to look at a map of this part of the state and look at where Holden is. Have you ever done that? I mean, if this, you know, we are really out here. And this is a place where we are so aware of the resources of the natural world around us, their beauty and bounty, their dangers and risks, the ways in which they support this little village in the middle of nowhere. And here we gather, week in and week out, to remember the gift of God in Jesus, the grace, freedom, and forgiveness that has shaped this community from its beginning. This is a place of journey. Some of you come with a particular thing to seek out. Some come and discover a new pathway. And some come for the remembrance of the riches and joy you've experienced in the past. And this community is not always easy. There are differences of opinion on work, on our life together, on how to move on to the future. And there has been plenty of Eldad and Medad weren't at the meeting over the years. And, of course, the occasional, if only we had meat to eat. But tonight we come again to this feast that God gives us in the name of Jesus. God's Spirit in this meal unites and frees us much as the Spirit did in the wilderness of Sinai for the people of Israel. Throughout Holden's history, this meal has shaped its life and has been at its center. There are no restrictions, coercions, judgments, or requirements here. Just a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine that are the best resources for our wilderness journey. Over the centuries, the church has limited and narrowed access to this great feast. But here at Holden, it has always been all are welcome. In fact, Holden welcomed children to this table from the get-go, long before any other Lutherans were even thinking about it. This is a place where, in just holding out your hands, you receive the abundance of manna, of life that comes from the free gift of grace in Jesus, of food and strength for the journey of life. The hymn we're going to sing now comes to us from the L'Arche community. I hope many of you know about L'Arche. L'Arche takes seriously Jesus' admonition not to put a stumbling block in front of the little ones, and so shares life's journey with those whom the world would set aside. L'Arche pays attention by walking hand in hand, step by step, in the journey of full life for everyone. The hymn is number 808. Thank you.
We continue now with the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the back cover of your worship booklets. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Freed by God and Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, for those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. The responses to each petition are found on page 8. At the end of each petition, I will say, "In your mercy," and you're invited to respond, receive our prayer. Gracious God, you gather together people of faith in every time and every place to be the risen body of Christ in the world. Enliven the church to nourish all people, to love the earth, and to serve its neighbors. In your mercy. Creative God, you weave together the fabric of the universe. Give us wisdom and discernment to be good stewards of our resources. And today, in particular, we remember the people of Indonesia in the wake of a horrific tsunami. Comfort those who mourn, equip those who seek to help, and animate every one of us to work toward healing of our beautiful planet. In your mercy. Sovereign God, you bless people with intelligence and compassion. Inspire citizens to raise up good leaders who seek peace and reconciliation among nations and who long to repair the world. Motivate all of us to do our part in bringing about justice for all your children. In your mercy. Loving God, you house the homeless, you free the captive, and you heal the sick. Make our hands your hands in service to strangers and friends alike. In our world, we lift before you the people of South Sudan who suffer from catastrophic hunger after years of violent unrest. Make a way where there is no way, so that their suffering would be no more. And now in our own communities, for whom do we pray? In your mercy, receive our prayer. Welcoming God, you have given us to each other in this community. Make us glad to receive those you send us and ready to receive their unique gifts and perspectives. In your mercy, receive our prayer. Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. The peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Please take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. We continue to worship now with our tithes and offerings. A word about this evening's offering. The community here chooses where it goes, and 100% of the offering goes to an organization chosen. And at this time, we are giving it to KIND, Kids in Need of Defense. So that is where our offering goes. Let us continue to worship.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish our whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Christ Jesus, the bread of life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who on this day broke the bonds of death, and by his glorious resurrection, opened for us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Loving Jesus, we ask that you remember us and teach us to pray. Our Father, Amen. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. And please know that all are welcome to this table, as Jesus is the host, and it is he that invites you to come. You may be seated.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. And just a brief apology. I've been worshiping here for 3 weeks, so that's three communions, and I keep forgetting to explain all the wonderful options that we have up here. So thank you to our communion volunteers for helping make that work, and my apologies if there was any discomfort here at all, because I want you all just to love coming up here. So we do have gluten-free and bread and wine and juice, and you can drink or dunk or all the options. It's really pretty great. I should have told you about it ahead of time. All right, why don't we stand together and join in singing a post-communion song on page 16.
Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people, Israel. Now, Lord, you let your servant go.
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. And now receive God's blessing. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always.
Amen.
Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.